We're talking about hope. My hope is built on nothingness. There's a song that I was singing, Love. This is your host, David Trigg, with my wife, Rochelle. And she's sitting here next to me. Daisy is next to us as well. We're here in our home, in our studio. And we're here to talk about hope and how there's this hymn that we were singing, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And there's another song that we love to sing at church. It says, there's no reason for sadness. You put joy in our soul. Turn our mourning to dancing. Now I'm singing a song all night long. And it comes from Isaiah 61 and from Isaiah somewhere else, mourning into dancing. But we have been through, like many people, through a lot of mournings, loss of a job opportunity just recently, loss of our parents, mom and dad, for my wife, for you, love. By the way, love, how are you doing? Say hello to the peoples.
Hello, everyone. Happy afternoon to each of you.
Just wanted to have you believe me that she's actually here. So there you go. There's proof. But, and this is not a downer episode, although we're not afraid of honest talks. Today also is the second year anniversary of the death of a loved friend of ours, daughter, you could say, spiritual daughter of ours, who lost a relative of hers just 2 years ago today. So we're aware of all these things. That summer obviously is a time to have fun, be out in the sun, and we have those things. We've traveled, and we have exciting things in our family coming up here in the next few months. Graduations just happened for some of our children, college graduates. And yeah, my wife and amazing travels and things that she saw, family. But as the song says, there is no reason for sadness. We mourn or we grieve, not as those who have no hope, but we still grieve. Jesus says in Matthew 6 to not be anxious for tomorrow, but for each day has enough worries of its own. Oh, you of little faith. And so it's normal to be worried and to be anxious, but it's important to have faith. So I guess that's really the topic is hope. My hope is built on nothing less, even when there are storms and loss. We have hope. We don't have fake hope, but we don't also descend into despair. Those are the two, I think, options that I've heard, that I've seen, is either, at least for me, I can tend to either ignore it and try to just outrun it or descend into despair. I think for you, love, you're more in the moment. You're an Enneagram 1, so you're more in the moment. I'm more of a future person, so it's often filled with anxiety. The ones are often filled with exhaustion because they're in the moment, and so it's like the ant that is always working. They're not worried, but they have to carry this big leaf. And so we all have our things. Those that are in the thinking triad, they deal with anxiety and fear and what could be. No, actually, what I meant to say is those that are past-oriented, they're more melancholy. Yeah, they're more think of how life used to be so good, the good old days kind of thing. So, but regardless of how we approach life, we put our hope in Christ. For me, it's been a very difficult and new experience to trust in God in the gutter. I don't think I'm in the gutter, but I have been. And that's my journey. That's the thing that I'm learning in therapy. And just simply as a human being, as a follower of Christ, is to be hope-filled today, not when I have the awesome job in the corner office and all that money and all that. I had that just a little bit ago, and I was worried about other things, about losing it. And so it isn't about having or not having. I've been in the best shape of my life, and I had other problems. And so it isn't about how much money you have or how great your circumstances are or how fun, how much fun you're having. It is about putting your hope in the Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not something the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. On Christ, the solid rock, I'm found. On Christ, the solid rock, I what? Christ, the solid rock, I what?
I stand.
Oh, lo, the ground is sinking sand. Oh, lo, the ground. So on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Oh, lo, the ground is sinking sand. So we can stand in the storm. There are some people that are, as I said, that run. I mean, I would say that I don't think you love run from pain. I would say you and others, it's not comfortable to experience negative emotions, meaning sadness, loss, despair. I mean, and I think some people don't even like to use those words. I know my mom's that way. But these are normal human emotions. And then some of us dwell too much on those emotions. But it's like I was reading a thing about Henry Nouwen when he said that what makes us unique is our unique painful experiences. That is what makes us human, is our unique pain. And that's where Jesus can heal. I would say that if you can't acknowledge your unique pain, then Jesus can't uniquely heal you. He's healing some things that you don't even want or need to be healed. It would be like someone who owes $3,000 or $10,000 of credit card debt, and someone gives you money and you buy a new car. Well, I gave you that money to pay off your debt. Well, but because you're so into buying things, you don't even do the right thing. The point, that's I think how healing can be for some people. You're ignoring those thoughts. You don't acknowledge your pain. You run from it. You get busy or go on trips or get too low and in despair, that when God wants to heal you, then you're not ready for it. You spend the money on something else. And so I think that's why, I guess, all this as preamble, as intro to this idea of hope. And so I'm finding another thing that I've been thinking about is the power of leading myself and my family through the storms. If the man of the house, if the spiritual leader, if you as the husband, the boyfriend, the man, spiritual leader, is in constant despair, then you can't lead anyone. You can't lead your family, your wife, your children, your roommates, whatever, because you're in despair. Now, again, I'm not saying you don't feel or that you run from it, but for me, I have to learn constantly in the storm right now, without that dream job that I wanted, to lead myself and therefore my wife and family into hope. So you have, my love, a verse or maybe a thought on this idea of hope that you'd like to talk about? I've been talking here for 8 minutes.
Yes. Yes, I do. And yes, baby, thank you for leading us, leading me, leading our family. That is something that you are excellent at, and I'm so grateful that God has given myself, you as my husband, and our three children as their father, because you do lead us always. I think that I'd like to encourage you all, and myself and my husband, through verses Romans 5, 1 through 5. It was verses that my sister shared earlier this week. And so let me share those with you now. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we celebrate in the hope of glory of God. And not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So may that encourage your heart as far as giving us that hope. And through those tribulations, we persevere. And I think that the other thing I'd like to share is that we continue to pray until the peace comes, whatever situation that may be for you today, for me today, for us today. We continue to ask God and lay it down, palms down, as my dad would always say. We just lay down whatever situation that is, a job loss, loss of a relationship, or comfort, whatever it could be. And we continue to pray until the peace comes. There's a very beloved pastor who said that recently as well. And so that one comes, I think, out of Philippians 4, which was my dad's life verse. But continue to know that all of these things bring about perseverance and strength, and peace of God is waiting for you on the other side.
It's beautiful, my love. Beautiful verse. I want to talk about what it feels like to grieve and to lose something. Again, because of my, the way I think and process life, I think God uses me to put words to feelings that people need. And so I was reading a post from 2005, just a few weeks after my beautiful grandmother, who raised me since age, basically my whole life, had passed away. And in the post there, it talked about how a friend, I'm sure a well-meaning friend, probably just a good friend, who knows who it was, but someone who I'm sure I love and loved me, was saying, aren't you over it yet? Meaning the loss of basically my second mother. And as insensitive as that sounds, I mean, that's how I think some people process being a Christian. And even some Christians, that's how they process themselves. Like, okay, it's been 6 weeks. And the irony reading that post is that I even wrote on there that I think my friend said that in February, and my grandma had died in January. So it'd been 6 weeks. So you think about it now, it's been 18 years. You think, how crazy that anyone would say, aren't you done with it yet, after 6 weeks, after 6 years, after 60 years? When can you tell someone, aren't you done yet? I had a friend here tell me that a pastor told his friend, who had lost also his mother, the same thing. And this friend used to be like a worship leader, a piano player. And so the pastor said, aren't you done yet? When are you coming back? I think it'd been 2 weeks since his mother had died. And this is a young man in his early 20s. I was a grown man when my grandmother died. I was 30 something. So imagine being in your 20s and a person that you admire spiritually, someone that you've given your whole spiritual life to. Again, I'm not anti anyone. I'm not saying, oh, pastors are bad. My point is, just don't be that way. Don't be so insensitive. Like, get a clue of how people process things differently. If you're someone who is super Christian strong and you're singing the song the next day after your mom died, then great. Teach us all how to do that. If you're in despair and like just drink and drugs and addictions, then don't do that. But I think that in that post, I'm glad I wrote that post. I shared it with a friend, one of our friends, our spiritual daughter, who's dealing with an anniversary 2 years ago of her father passing. And I thought, 2 years, that's nothing. You think today she's saying, oh, it's been 2 years, I'm good. Man, I'm glad that I have all these memories. Man, I don't miss my father. It's been 2 years. My pastor told me that I should be done with this. Should have been done with this 2 months into it. Of course not. I mean, no one's thinking that. And so my point with expressing feelings is, it's okay. It's okay. Though I walk through the valley. David walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, I never walked, or I'm just singing a song. He's saying, I will fear no evil. Guess what he was doing? He was fearing. He was fearing evil. Because he was fearing for his life. And so this is David. Jesus, Lord, if anything, please take this cup away from me. Please, is there any other way? Do I have to suffer? Well, the Lord, though, I mean, he knew he had a purpose. He knew he had to die. And yet there he was, crying at the tomb of Lazarus. There he was, you could say, just needing perspective, needing his friends to pray for him. Do you ask your friends to pray for you when you are grieving, or you, after losing this job opportunity recently? First day I was like, oh, okay, I'm good. Second day I just crashed. Third day, a little bit better, and so forth. It's not meant to be some, it's not a race.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I, as far as grieving goes and allowing yourself to grieve and to feel and to be happy when you're happy and to feel that loss when you are at that point. And yeah, I guess I was just looking at the little sparrows hopping around in our yard and thinking about how the verse where in Matthew where it says they don't sit there worrying about tomorrow, and how God provides for them and how much more he loves us and will provide for us. So I think that's applicable not only to hope that does not disappoint, but also provision and the love that he surrounds us with, no matter where we are in our emotions of grief or emotions of life.
Yep. When we were in Colorado, speaking of birds, birds have been a big thing in our family and my mom. In Colorado, we had a little, I think it was a big old storm, like one of those crazy hail storms. I love Colorado, but those storms are no joke. And we had, it must have been spring, maybe around this time, maybe earlier, maybe February, March. And we had a little dove or birdies make a nest in this flower pot, I believe. And then this crazy storm came, and I think the pot was gone, like the little birdies, everything just crashed. And we thought, how tragic is that? And yet we have to believe, I guess this is a bummer story, I have a better story, how God takes care of our birdies, even though it looks to us, and maybe, God forbid, I don't know what happened to these little birdies, but God takes care of the birdies. And then what you're saying, love about the birdies out there, and we've had hummingbirds here. And then my mom, as I was saying, when she lost her husband, my father, that same story, well, actually, that was my grandma, but it's been, whatever, 30 years ago. She went outside to pray while my dad was basically moments from dying. She actually went outside to take a little break, and she saw a little birdie. And that, she says, when she finally let go, she said, Lord, you say to not worry. You'll take care of me. You'll take care of all things. And she went back in, and my father had passed away. And so Matthew 6, birdies, all these stories, storms. This is maybe what God has for us right now. It is what he has for us right now. These last 2 years, we've lost two jobs and two parents, and I lost my uncle. You lost your uncle. So that's a lot of loss in 2 years. And now, what has God done? Well, amazing things. You just came back from a beautiful trip. You saw your family. We were in Hawaii last year. We were in Italy last year. I mean, seeing the Vatican, seeing David in Florence, in the Amalfi Coast where the Kardashians got married. I mean, these gorgeous, the train to Rome from Florence. All the food, all the beautiful Airbnbs that we lived in or stayed in. The ocean, the Mediterranean Sea. I mean, just, and that was in the middle of all this craziness. With what money, with what, blah, blah. Well, God always provides. My beautiful daughter's car, I've been taking care of that thing for 30 years, and it just died. One day, she literally, in panic, called me saying, Poppy, my brake lights are all going crazy, all my lights. She got here safely by God's grace. I was on the phone with her the whole time. She was on the freeway. And the car was just dead. I mean, I took it to the shop, and he's like, yeah. And then a few weeks later, we had this beautiful car for her that is really her dream car. I remember years ago, or not years ago, but this year sometime, your car, love, your Flex. I tell these stories because to me, car maintenance is not easy. It stresses me out because I'm not a car guy, and so I have to now. But thankfully, God has provided more and more people. I mean, shout out to Eddie. Shout out to Jamel. Shout out to all these people, American Tires. Shout out to these beautiful men, people, that angels that God has put in my path. But to me, going back to maybe even grieving, I didn't grow up with my father. So I never saw him calling Jose and Mario and Miguel. And I'm like, oh, I'll just call those guys. Like David is growing up. He's saying, oh, I'll just call Art. I'll just call Jamel. I'll just call Eddie. He's learning, and this is normal, right? You see your father, in our case, call these guys to fix things so you're not stressed. But for me, I had no idea. What do you do? I thought I have to go fix it. Instead, David is learning, you don't have to go fix your own car. You just call Eddie. Oh, right. So anyway, those lessons I didn't have. And so when your car, love, the engine light, which is like the worst thing, right? And with, yeah, money and all these things, I thought, man, it's going to be $2,000-$3,000. And I remember I woke up one morning, I think you were gone, and the engine light was off. I thought, no. It'd been on for like 2 days or something. I thought, what? It can't be. Because, you know, sometimes it kind of goes on and off. I kept driving it, drove it to the shop. He said, well, just put this little $20 juice in the engine to clean it up. It was one of those like sensor things with smog and just needed to be readjusted with some liquid. $20. I thought it would cost $2,000. And whether it's my mom with the birdies or whether it's all the things, I'm sure, love, that you've seen, those verses that you read, where God shows up and he says, I'm here. I'm here in your despair. My mommy, my beautiful dad, when he's literally going to heaven in the room next door, she's here saying, Lord, you got it. And so right now we declare and we believe, but right now when I don't have that perfect fit, that he's got it. I declare it, even though in the room next door, man, what? That's what my emotions and my mind and my this poor little flesh that's weak and that can't see past itself. That's what the flesh, I don't mean sin, I just mean our emotions. That's what we miss, opportunities we think. Oh, but you got it, Lord. Palms down, you got it. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood. You got it. Oh, but that would have been, oh, but my husband. I mean, imagine, how do you replace a husband? You don't, or a father, or a mother. I mean, but you got it, Lord. You got it. And has my mom lived? Maybe I'll wrap up with this, and maybe if you want to say something, love. My mom has lived, I would say, I knew her, of course, but I didn't live with her for most of my life, or my father. So I didn't know her as an adult woman, like in her 30s and 40s and 50s. Of course, I spoke to her on the phone, but I wasn't in her vicinity. And so, but she says that after my father's death, that horrible thing, that she became more attached to Jesus. And I've seen her joy. Again, I don't think she was some sad person before, but I've seen her joy. If not increase, it's the same. If not, maybe better. I don't know. And she's been here. She's a joy to us all. Here's a woman who lost her father, her husband, her mother, jobs, money. I mean, you name it. All the things that we've been through. And maybe that you've been through, that you're going through. And she was just here a few months ago. I mean, cooking and cleaning for our kids, just bringing joy to our whole family. Being Mama Gozo. Why? Because she said, you got it, Lord. You got it. She broke her this. She, you know, she's had physical things the last, nothing crazy, just bones and, you know. You got it, Lord. Her granddaughters, her great-grandkids, blah, 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 things, choices. You got it, Lord. And she's filled with joy. How can we not? How can I not? How can I? Como puedo estar triste, says that old hymn. How can I be sad? Yo vivo alegre, And that's actually from Matthew 6. If he takes care of the birds of the sky, will he not take care of me? Right? What's that hymn in English called? His eyes on the sparrow. His eyes on the... How can I be sad? Now, don't go be that person. Oh, okay, I can't be sad. I can't cry. It's been 2 weeks. Stop crying for your mom. No. I had another friend said, I gave myself 3 days to just binge drink and then I'm good. Because he's lost his wife. 3 days? I mean, he almost ruined his life in 3 days. How about if instead he gave himself 3 years to properly grieve? How about that? You think that would have been a better choice? Yes. Or 3 months or whatever, right? So I'm not saying don't grieve, but you got it, Lord. My hope is built on you. I want a beautiful church job or something that's beautiful, that provides, it's a perfect fit. This one would have been, could have been. You got it, Lord. We declare today, and for you, you declare. You have to, can you say it right with me? You got it, Lord. Say it with me.
You got it, Lord.
You got it. Any closing thoughts, Lev, before we wrap up? Maybe you can pray for us as we go.
Heavenly Father, we worship you today. We praise your holy name, for you are good, and you are love, and you are joy. You are peace, you are patience, you are kindness, you are goodness, you are self-control. And we lay down everything that is on our hearts and our minds, and we worship you. And I pray a blessing over my baby and our family and over everyone who's listening in the name of Jesus. And may you be filled with love and joy today and in every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, my love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Make sure that you follow me on Instagram at David Trigg. Thank you for being here, and I will see you next time. Adios!